Welcome to the Bob Siegel Show podcast on the Cross Global Media Radio Network. Visit cgmradio.com/Bob to subscribe on your favorite podcasting platform.
Welcome to the Bob Siegel Show. Our theme, Christianity and its relationship to politics and pop culture. It's going to be a pop culture edition today. In fact, I am going to offer a review for an older classic television series, The Waltons. Some people think of it as corny. Those are probably the ones who never actually watched it. Now, why review something from the past, you're probably wondering? That's a good question, and I have a good answer. With some notable exceptions, television and movies were better years ago. They just were. Somebody has to say it. It may as well be me. But again, I did say there are notable exceptions, so you don't have to write me and say, what about The Chosen or anything like that, okay? Still, there is another reason for going back. The Waltons is not trapped in the past. It can still be enjoyed in the present. It's on the MeTV network, otherwise known as Television Heaven for the 50s through 80s. Or you can get the series on DVD. The program is worth watching and still holds up. In fact, it was always a period piece anyway. It's technically an historical drama about a family living in the woods of the Virginia mountains during the Great Depression in the show's first few seasons and World War II in the latter seasons. These mountains, incidentally, are not filmed in Virginia, but rather Southern California. In fact, you can look at that landmark hill with the Hollywood sign. Well, the other side of that big hill is Walton's Mountain. It might have been nice to see real Virginia countryside filmed. The show was such a hit, you'd think they'd had the budget for that. But it's okay. It's okay. The Waltons was still wonderful and semi-autobiographical. It was created by Earl Hamner, based on his 1961 book Spencer's Mountain, which later became a film in 1963, depicting his own family life while he grew up. Later on, Hamner became quite involved with television and wrote a script for the television movie The Homecoming, a Christmas story also based on his family. This was broadcast on CBS December 19th, 1971. Because of its success, CBS greenlighted The Waltons. The show ran for 9 seasons on CBS, once a week, and seasons, you need to understand, were much longer in those days, about 26 episodes per season. The Waltons ran from September 1972 to April 1981. After that, over a period of several years, there were 6 television reunion movies. The show starred Richard Thomas as John Boy. Even if you never watched the show, you're probably familiar with the name John Boy. That's become part of the routine. Good night, John Boy. Good night, Mary Ellen. Good night, Jason. But he did star as John Boy, the oldest of 7 brothers and sisters, and this character was based on Hamner himself. Other stars include Ralph White as the dad, Michael Learned as the mother, Ellen Corby and Will Gear as the grandparents, and a whole host of other characters, in as much as the Waltons were a large family connected to a well-knitted community. These additional characters in the community are eccentric and colorful and a lot of fun, from Ike and Corabeth Godsey at the local store to the Baldwin sisters. These women are absolutely delightful, known for the whiskey they sell, not even knowing that they're selling illegal moonshine. They call it Papa's Recipe. I just loved the Baldwin sisters. You will get quite a kick out of them. Now, if you've listened to any of my other film and television reviews, you know I am extremely critical. I must confess, the industry has become so woke and PC that for me personally, the bar has been lowered. These days, just knowing that 2 men are not going to be making out on the screen, or knowing that 2 women are not going to be making out on the screen with each other, is enough for me to like it. So watching an older program embedded with family values is quite refreshing. In fact, I'm grateful they still allow it to air. Who knows how much longer that will be with the whole cancel culture. There were actually a lot of episodes of The Waltons that spoke out against the discrimination going on back in the 1930s, but that will not be considered enough by today's wiser heads. So who knows how much longer you'll even be able to see it. There was a new pilot made for a new Walton series. They showed the pilot on TV. I don't know if it's going to sell or not. I didn't care for it at all. Remakes are never a good idea anyway, but of course these days I just shudder to think of what they might do to the show should it become a new revamped weekly series. Will it still have family values? Well, yeah, they'll call them family values, but will they be the kind of family values that embrace abortion, socialism, open borders? And how many major characters will need to come out of the closet? Sorry, my mind is wandering. Anyway, I will limit today's review to the original series rather than speculating on a new one. The original series did have family values, but I don't want you to think that was my only reason for liking the show. Over the years, there have been many programs with good family values that were still poorly made just as far as art goes. My enthusiasm for the Waltons is genuine in its own right. Just in terms of my honest critic's microscope on acting, writing, and interesting stories, the show wins in all categories and was actually awarded over the years with Emmys in addition to the very prestigious Peabody Award. Warm, charming, humorous, and true to life, it gave us an excellent slice of Americana. Even though we were watching it in the 70s and 80s, the show, once again, was set during the Depression era of the 1930s and slowly moved over the years into the breakout of war in Europe and America's eventual entry into the war. This was followed by the post-World War II era. You really feel like you're living in those days. As a viewer, you look at the world the way early 20th century Americans looked at the world. It is so important to have this connection and continuity with our past, especially in an era when history is being rewritten, particularly American history. The program is narrated by the real John Boy Walton, whose name has been changed to Walton and is in fact the before-mentioned writer Earl Hamner. Speaking of writers, that is what I personally enjoyed the most about the Waltons. It starred a young man who wanted more than anything to become a professional writer. I was in college myself when the show went on the air with that same desire, so I related and actually felt thrilled when John Boy, after 5 seasons of hoping and longing and dreaming, finally sold his first novel to a publisher. Now, this doesn't mean I don't have criticism of the Waltons. I do. One downside to a successful program staying on the air for many seasons is that changes are unavoidable. Sometimes the changes are handled well, sometimes not so well. Changes take place for a lot of reasons. Some actors want to move on and do films, although that seldom turns out successfully for them. Other actors who would have stayed with the series die. They pass away. People such as Will Gear, after playing the grandfather for 6 seasons. He was wonderful in that role, by the way. And while Ellen Corby didn't die while the show was on the air, she did have a stroke. So they wrote into the storyline a stroke for Grandma Walton. This was handled with taste and delicacy and dignity. It was done in a very moving way. But let me talk for a moment about the actors who chose to move on. Richard Thomas was the first to go after 5 seasons. He did come back as a semi-regular in 2 episodes of season 6 and was later replaced by another actor in season 8. Nobody likes to see a character role assumed by another actor, but I will say this. The new actor, Robert Whiteman, did look and act a lot like Richard Thomas. Not entirely. We always know when it's a different actor, but the height and build and hair color were the same. The face was similar at least. Most importantly of all, the actor talked just like the original. In time, I really did start thinking of this guy as the same John Boy. Unfortunately, he has not been much liked by the fans to this day. You can go to websites and they'll say things like, "Everybody knows Richard Thomas is the real John Boy." Okay, look, I would have preferred to see Richard Thomas stay in the role as well. Once again, none of us like it when actors from our favorite programs move on. And sometimes it is better to just not feature that character anymore, which is what they did for a couple of years with John Boy. However, keeping in mind that we all know this is fiction and that all characters are portrayed by actors, if you're going to replace somebody, at least do it with somebody who looks as much like the other actor as possible and who plays the part in a very similar way. Whiteman did this, but he had an impossible task, taking over the role of an iconic character. Nothing he did would have satisfied anyone, and that's too bad. He did the best he could with an impossible impossible task, a very tall order, and at least the producers got a similar-looking person. That is seldom done when new actors take over. There's a few other examples. One time that comes to my mind is the new Darren on Bewitched. He looked a lot like the old Darren. But examples of characters looking and acting absolutely nothing like the original would be the two new actors replacing the actors for Tim Allen's daughters in Last Man Standing. Michael Learned as Olivia Walton also left the series, although she came back for a while and then left again. Whereas John Boy's premise for leaving was natural, he's a kid who's growing up, he's publishing his first novel, wanting to move to New York, he's eventually getting a military job with the Stars and the Stripes in World War II, the premise was much more awkward with Olivia Walton. Supposedly, she came down with tuberculosis. Now, I don't know much about that or how contagious it was in those days, but its being contagious was never mentioned. What they said instead is that she needed to stay in a sanatorium because she would have been too much of a burden to stay at home and have her family take care of her. Would have been unfair to tax all of their time. My friends, there was nothing, absolutely nothing about this family that made us think for a second that caring for their mother would have ever been a burden. It was just an excuse to explain why an actress was no longer being seen. Ralph White, as Dad, eventually left the series too, claiming he was going out to the Arizona sanatorium with Olivia to be with her, to keep an eye on her. But he did remain for a long time. He and Michael Learned and Richard Thomas all returned for the reunion movies, incidentally. On the other hand, sometimes a series will change because a realistic growth of the characters calls for a change. This is legitimate change. This is artistic change. Such was the case when spunky older sister Mary Ellen, played by Judy Norton Taylor, married an even spunkier person, Dr. Kurt Willard, played by Tom Bauer. Kurt was a great character and added a lot to the series. Unfortunately, this actor also quit when they wouldn't pay him all the new money he was demanding, so they decided to have him killed off during the attack on Pearl Harbor, where he was working as an army doctor. I did not like seeing him die, but the episode was done in a very gut-wrenching, emotional, and powerful way. This leads to what should be a rule for any series. If you're going to kill off a character, for Pete's sakes, keep him dead. None of us ever buy it when you say he was really alive. I hate this device. I hate it when they come back a few years later and say, hey, you know what? He didn't really die after all. Isn't that a hoot? During season 9, when the Waltons was getting anemic and starting to slip in the ratings, a newer team of writers decided to shake things up. It's true that the series needed to be shaken up by this point, but they did it by claiming Kurt actually survived Pearl Harbor and was hiding out in Florida, having tricked everybody, embarrassed to come home to Mary Ellen because his injuries were such that he could never perform sexually again. I hate this Hollywood device, and it's done often. Remember Dallas? Actor Patrick Duffy decided to quit, so they killed him off. One season later, when he discovered, big surprise, that he wasn't really going to have much of a career without Dallas, he decided to return. Instead of saying, hey, dude, you quit, you're out, the story has gone on, they decided instead they had to bring him back. An entire season of episodes was explained as only having been a dream. A dream! Dallas was never that good of a show anyway, but it did have a loyal following. What a way to betray the fans! The fans of the Waltons also felt betrayed. The return of Kurt is discussed to this day over the internet as the absolute worst episode ever, and I completely agree. When Mary Ellen discovered Kurt, he was played by a different actor. At least in the case of John Boy, they got an actor that looked a lot like him and acted a lot like him. There was nothing about this new actor for Kurt or his spoken dialogue that even remotely reminded us of the real Kurt. Besides, the premise completely contradicted the backstory. The army only reports people dead if they know they're dead. If there's doubt, they're called missing in action. On the show, Kurt was reported dead and awarded the Purple Heart. The family would have wanted to see the body anyway, although it is Pearl Harbor. Maybe they couldn't have seen it, but he was reported dead, given the Purple Heart, other medals of gallantry for saving lives right after the bombing before he died himself. There was a whole episode when a character visited the Waltons and explained the heroic heroic things Kurt had done after the bombing. This man saved my life. This man was my inspiration. Then he eventually died. But in the new version, he was just knocked unconscious in civilian clothes after the bombing, waking up months later in a hospital, not even knowing who he was at first. So how and when did he earn all those medals after the bombing? It was all utter nonsense, an illegitimate story, a shameless attempt to boost ratings. Oh, sure, occasionally this stupid device works a little better. Star Trek killed off Spock in The Wrath of Khan and brought him back in The Search for Spock, but they had a plausible story. Spock passed on his consciousness to Dr. McCoy. The Genesis effect regenerated his body back to life. It's a lot easier to do that in science fiction. But even then, art was not the reason Spock was killed, and art was not the reason Spock was returned. The reason they killed him off is that Leonard Nimoy decided The Wrath of Khan would be his last film. And The Wrath of Khan became such a hit, Nimoy changed his mind and wanted to do another film. Now they had to find a way to bring him back. But whatever the latter writers of the Waltons did to louse things up toward the end, I still must pay homage to the original writers who gave us a program as dramatic as it is entertaining and as heartwarming as it is humorous. At the moment, it's still legal to watch the Waltons. Check it out. This is Bob Siegel making the obvious obvious.